Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Carpet in the bathroom? Like why? In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And welcome, everybody, to today's exciting episode.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
Godfather, 1972.
Well done. Well done.
Huh?
I just got back from the dentist and they forgot to take out the cotton balls. Robin Hood Men in Tights. 1990-something.
You've referred to that movie a few times, and I've never seen
it. It's a brilliant movie. Mel Brooks.
Yeah, you've got a thing for Mel Brooks. He's
a brilliant comedian, director, and actor. He stars in quite a lot of his films.
Is he the one that worked with, what's his name, Naked Gun?
Yeah, I think the vampire one. Yeah, Leslie Nielsen and that.
Leslie Nielsen. Yeah, fantastic. I started watching the spy one that he did. I can't think what
Naked Gun.
Is it Naked Gun?
Yeah, Naked Gun, and then there was Naked Gun 2.5 and 33 and a third.
Yeah, that's one of them's on a subscription based thing. And I can't think which one it was. It might have been number two. I just stuck it on for background.
It's got O.J. Simpson in it.
Oh, I think it is that one. Yeah. And it actually, apart from O.J., I think it actually does stand the test of time. It's still quite funny.
It does, yeah. Yeah, they're brilliant films. Mel Brooks, brilliant director as well. I don't know if he did Naked Gun, but it was very much his kind of comedy. Very slapstick sort of silliness.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Mel, I think that's a good transition.
I actually didn't think of that, but yeah, it is.
Yeah. We're going to cover Mel's Hole today.
Which is not a euphemism for anything rude.
Yeah, no. None of the Spice Girls involved in this one. No.
'Tis a mystery.
Yeah, a proper urban myth, if you will.
Urban legend.
What am I knocking? Oh, it's that. The cord for the... I'll have to hold it. Yeah, it's a proper urban myth, a legend. I don't know if it's legit or not. Let's go through it and decide at the end.
Get to the bottom of Mel's Hole.
Yeah. So I've always been told Mel's Hole is just a hole in the ground that has no bottom.
That's pretty much what I've heard, yeah.
Yeah. And that is pretty much the story.
Well, there we go. Right, next week.
But I'm going to go through a few websites that I found. Wikipedia, obviously, is a big one. I went through Reddit and urbanmyths.org, I believe, is the other one. And I found one called listverse.com. And they've actually got the events pretty much in order. So it kind of done my job for me. So.
Listed them out for you.
Nice
easy research for you this week.
Yeah. So on February 21st, 1997, a man who called himself Mel Waters phoned a well-known late-night radio show that featured paranormal stories called Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. And that's come up before.
Yeah, a few times. Yeah.
Yeah, very popular.
I guess we're kind of very much like Coast to Coast, aren't we? Because we cover the weird and the wonderful, strange and mystical, sometimes paranormal, sometimes not so much.
Yeah, see, I wish we had like devout listeners that would phone in with all these crazy stories.
That'd be great, like, yeah. If we had 20 million listeners every week, yeah. That'd be awesome.
It'd be fantastic.
It would.
But yes, Coast to Coast AM was the most popular place to discuss all paranormal, weird, and unexplained. It was the perfect audience for Waters to tell his story. He captivated Bell and the listeners with his tales of a seemingly bottomless hole on his property that possessed mystical qualities. Local legend said it was cursed. So
the guy that he bought the house off say that, well, he obviously told him about the hole and said, don't be surprised if you see like local neighbours bringing their rubbish up and dumping it in the hole.
Yeah, yeah. He did.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's literally bottomless.
Yeah, yeah.
So
people
the,
were dumping fridges down there and all sorts.
Yeah, a lot of appliances. Mm. We're actually going to get into some paranormal stuff as well.
Okay,
cool. Other things that get chucked down and then come back. So
I've never heard of anything that came back from the hole.
So the first settlers dubbed it the Devil's Hole, but Waters refused to give the exact location when he was phoning in, just saying that he lived in Kittitas County, Washington, in a region adjacent to the Manitash Ridge. In two follow-up phone calls in April 2000 and January 2002, his stories grew even more extreme. There was no way to know at that time that Mel's Hole would continue to capture public attention for years and years to come. Mm-hmm. Now, what you just said, basically, is the next point.
Oh, the start of the story, yeah, yeah.
I suppose I could say get out of my head, pirate, but then it's in the timeline.
Yeah. So I'm like,
yeah, Waters, his neighbours, and the previous owners regularly used the mysterious hole as a natural trash pit. They dumped household waste, furniture, and building debris into it for years, but somehow it never filled up. Eventually, Waters grew curious as to the hole's depth. On his first call to the radio show, he described an attempt to test the depth of the hole by using a large amount of fishing line, which was about 80,000 feet.
I know that he eventually did that. I thought the first time he tried it, didn't he like lower some anchovies or something down there to... It wasn't as deep as that. It was quite a few thousand feet, or like 10,000 feet or something like that. And when he pulled the anchovies back up, he was expecting them like to either be wet or you know, something to have happened to them. But they were exactly the same as when he'd sent them down there. Not like they weren't covered in dust. They weren't. They hadn't got water on them.
No change.
No change at all.
Mm.
And then he tried attaching even more fishing line to see just how deep it would go, and I think this is just from memory. I think he had tied about five lengths of fishing line together, five or six, until he'd got about 80,000 feet's worth of line, sent it, and it went all the way to the bottom. Now, which is interesting because the deepest point on Earth, Challenger Deep, that's the bottom of the Mariana Trench, is only around about 35,000 feet.
Ah, okay. Because I've got a reference here, but it's not as impressive as what you just said.
Oh, right.
the deepest cave in the world is 7,257 feet.
Yeah.
And, so maybe you're right. I think his main attempt maybe did reach 80,000 in the end.
Yeah. Even the Russians, when they bored down, did they? I think they got 12,000 meters, which is deeper than the Mariana Trench, I think. 12,600 meters, I think, something like that. Okay. But still nowhere near 80,000 feet.
Well, it says the amount of fishing line that water is used would reach about a quarter of the way through the Earth's crust at its thickest.
Probably. I don't know exactly how thick the Earth's crust is.
But then surely if you were to go 80,000 feet into the Earth, the fishing line would like melt or something, wouldn't it? Surely. You would think so. I don't know.
Pressure and heat down at that depth would be, yeah, quite phenomenal.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even think that a hole would be able to stay open at that depth.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of the amount of crushing force of, like, you know, the pressure and gravity that it would have. So
that's another point I hadn't thought of. I like how we're, like, debunking it already. We're already the second part in, kind of thing, the second point. I'll continue. We'll debunk it at the end. Or... Will we not?
Will we? Who knows?
But the fishing line was only the beginning in a claim reminiscent to Stephen King's 1983 horror novel, The Pet Sematary. So Waters described an instance where his neighbour dropped the body of their deceased pet dog into the hole. The owner got the shock of their life when they saw their pooch alive and well in the nearby woods only a little while later.
Oh, no, yeah, I think I did hear about that, but it didn't respond to him in any way, did it?
Yeah.
He tried calling the dog and it just ignored him and ran off.
They recognised the dog because he wore the same collar, but the dog showed no signs of recognising his owner and did not respond to his calls. While it may be a more desirable result than the grieving pet owner saw in Walter's claim. So, yeah, you're right. It's...
Yeah.
It's odd because it's the same dog with the same collar but didn't respond. That is pretty much Pet Sematary.
Yeah, well, yeah. I suppose it was a cat in the Pet Sematary, but.
Oh,
yeah.
It was, wasn't it?
And a baby. But
bonus points. What was the cat's name? I do actually know this. Just to drop some trivia on you.
I want to say Gabe, but I think that's the baby. I think that's the baby that they.
Church.
Church, is it? Oh, okay.
Which I always thought was a pretty cool name for a cat, to be fair. In another claim, Waters revealed that Mel's hole had strange effects on some everyday objects. Art Bell and his listeners hung on to every word as Waters mentioned the odd things that metal items and portable radios would start to do whenever they were near the opening of the 9-foot diameter hole.
Yeah. Don't know that the hole's got a little wall around it, doesn't it? Doesn't it?
Wow, this is the weird thing. He doesn't seem to say, Mel. I'm pretty sure he doesn't say what the hole looks like.
So I'm sure some pictures that I've seen have got like a small, maybe like a foot or 2 foot high, like stone wall around it.
Yeah. And then other pictures have like bushes around it.
Yeah, yeah. And there's just like a hole in the ground. So I was wondering if there was any confirmation on that, but it didn't actually say.
No. Well, not at this point of the research.
It doesn't on your list.
No. But I don't think it does. I don't think Mel actually mentions it. He just keeps persisting that this thing is actually real. But there's a couple of things there, but we'll come back to that. I'm not too sure. So he claimed that metals would mysteriously change into other metals or substances whenever he held them near the entrance. Waters also recounted an instance where he brought his radio to the pit and set it to his favourite radio station. But instead of music, the radio output strange unknown voices and programmes and music from the past.
Join us! Swallow your soul! Oh,
join us! I thought you went vagina!
No! Peachy! Peachy!
Well, Mel's hole and vagina go hand in hand, don't they? It took me a second to work out. You said join us. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Right.
Well, that was
that was my Evil Dead reference. But
I thought I recognised it. Evil Dead's the one with the chainsaw guy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Chainsaw head. Yeah.
That's a great film.
Brilliant film. Well, the second one was a brilliant film. The first one was just so laughable, that's why they made the second one.
Yeah. It's got a cult following, that, hasn't
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm part of the cult.
Yeah, probably love it.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen some of the... they got a series as well called Ash versus the Evil Dead.
They have.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those. They're not as good as the old films, but, yeah.
Mm. Bring back cheesy horror films, yeah. That's what I say. Waters described many of his experiments at the pit, and each one seemed to produce a more unsettling result than the last. In one of his final calls, Waters described lowering a bucket of ice down to 1,500 feet, and when he lifted it out, he noticed that the ice was warm but did not melt. He said it had actually changed into a flammable substance.
Warm, flammable ice. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to scour my brain for a scientific explanation for that one, but I just can't get it. Unless fracking is involved, but...
I think we've been duped here. I'm starting to think that Mel's hole is...
Honestly, I'm starting to think that Mel, whoever he actually is... possibly Joseph Matheny ringing in with one of his stories.
Yeah, it's got a bit of a John Titor kind of thing, hasn't it? The warm ice was not the only time that his experiments defied the laws of science. Okay, they defied the laws of science.
Ah, there we go, okay.
When he yelled down into the hole, he claimed there was no echo. There was also no sound after large trash items such as refrigerators or televisions were thrown into the pit to confirm that it had hit the bottom.
No, no splashes, no crashing or anything like that. I don't think, from what I remember, I don't think he even heard it like tumbling down sides or anything. It was just like it dropped straight down the middle, like touching nothing as on its way down.
It's so crazy to me that if as we go on, if more of this doesn't make sense, it's actually amazing that this has stood the test of time as a myth or a legend.
Yeah, I mean, considering nobody can find it as well, it's
yeah. Oh, I did read that one hippie, I think he went by the name Red.
Right.
There's one hippie who claims to have found the hole, and he used to like meditate and pray and things around the hole. And
take
seen
LSD
it.
There. And...
Yeah, apparently he's seen it with his own eyes.
Right.
But again, he couldn't tell you where it actually was.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
just
man.
Been there, apparently.
I just followed the wind.
Yeah. That's the only person that I found, apart from Mel, that has seen the hole.
Right.
But then
the neighbours. And the previous occupant. And nobody knows where it is, though.
Yeah.
Even though it was only in 1997?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of Waters' most disturbing claims involved lowering a live sheep into the hole. The sheep's in it. Yeah, we need to find that sheep.
That's what we find.
Another eyewitness.
Came up. His wool had changed colour.
He's now flammable.
And frozen.
Yeah, at the same time.
Just being hot.
Yeah, it's defying science. Funny enough, they
fire
did...
Fire came from his nostrils.
They did actually lower it down to the same feet as the ice.
All right.
So 1,500 feet. As he did the ice bucket experiment, the sheep shrieked and kicked on the way down, then suddenly went silent. When Waters lifted it out, he found that the animal had been cooked. The sheep had also developed a strange lump, which, to his horror, started to move. He cut it open and found a fatal seal that he said gazed at him with intelligent human-like eyes.
A fetal seal.
Oh, fetal.
Like a baby seal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that makes more sense. That looks like fatal seal without my glasses. It's
the seal of death.
I mean, this hole's so mysterious. Who are we to say there isn't a fatal seal?
Well, coming? Yeah, but a fetal seal that stared at him.
Yeah, with intelligent human-like eyes. But that's not all, Pirate.
Did he club it to death then? No.
He went on to add that the creature miraculously cured his cancer. It jumped back into the hole, but was seen later by local sheep herders who claimed it radiated a benevolent presence. So this chilling story may explain why Waters' dogs refused to come within 100 feet of the hull and why birds never sat on the stone wall retaining
hey!
Around it. I knew Mel hadn't said anything about it, but there is a wall. So that's by far the most bizarre claim with Mel's hull.
Yeah, I've not heard that one. Never researched it far enough to hear about that one.
So,
but the seal jumped back into the hole after being cut out of a dead cooked sheep.
So yeah, the fetal seal alien thing creature
cured his cancer and then jumped back
into the hole, and then sheep herders later saw it. I mean,
surely it should have been cooked. But then so should the dog as well what had happened.
That's a very good point. You chuck a dog down there,
it's dead, comes back alive, chuck a live sheep down there and it gets cooked.
Yeah, and then produces an alien creature and kills cancer.
A fatal seal.
Yeah. Bizarre.
With human eyes.
A fetal seal.
I guess seals do kind of have human-like eyes anyway, don't they?
They do. They're super cute.
Yeah, they are.
I like seals.
I don't think anybody doesn't like seals.
Oh, the people that club them, I suppose.
I don't think anyone really does that, to be honest.
That's the next mystery. Where did that story come from?
I don't know.
Clubbing seals.
I don't know. Was there like a mass seal cull at some point where the people actually thought that it was good to go around clubbing seals? Or surely there's a more humane way of culling seals if you had to. Not that you'd want to. I mean, seals are like the dogs of the sea, aren't they?
They are.
Everybody loves seals.
Why would you want to club a seal? Yeah.
You wouldn't. Particularly when they're all babies. They're just like cute, fluffy little things, aren't they?
I know Inuits used to, like the older seals that were like towards their end of the life. I'm pretty sure Inuits used to use their skin as what's the thing that surfers wear, like body suits.
Oh, yeah.
What are they called? I always forget.
A wetsuit.
Wetsuit, that's it. Yeah, Inuits used to use them.
Yeah, I've seen Bear Grylls do that with like dead seal carcass as well.
Yeah.
Cut it open and use it as like a life vest style.
Yeah. It's like proper waterproof and warm and all sorts. Bizarre, isn't it? Because I'm saying Inuit because I think that's the right term. Because they don't like being called Eskimos anymore, do they?
I don't know.
I've always been told that that's now... This world is crazy. You can't even say Eskimo anymore. But the only reason I know that is there's one of my favourite metal bands is called Electric Callboy.
Right.
And they used to be Eskimo Callboy, but they had to legally change their name because of that reason.
Because you're not allowed to call them Eskimo.
Yeah. So I think they're...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
The DSW Black Friday sale is on. Take 30% off almost everything in stores and online right now. Yep, you heard that right. 30% off. Stock up on new shoes, bags, and extras for you and yours from all the gift-worthy brands you love. But hurry, Black Friday can't last forever. Get to your DSW store or DSW.com ASAP to save big. Exclusions apply. Details at DSW.com.
Inuits now.
Well, I guess they were always Inuits, I think. But I don't know. I don't know. Why is Eskimo not allowed and Inuit is? I mean, defining somebody you're defining them by what they are, really. I mean,
I've always thought Eskimo is quite a cute name.
I wouldn't think it's derogatory.
No, I don't know. I've got no idea.
It's the same as me calling me a Brit.
Oh, how dare you call yourself a Brit?
I'm so offended by the term.
Yeah, it's a good point. I don't know. Someone can get back to us and complain, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I've said it too many times now. I'll get us in trouble.
Well, I might have to get the bleeper out.
Yeah. And then it'll be known as the E word. can't use it anymore. No. The many strange occurrences that Waters re-encountered on Coast to Coast AM were not limited to items he lowered into the hole. Sometimes mysterious things would come out of it too. Waters described seeing it. Let me start again. Waters described a disturbing report from one of his neighbours who had seen a blacker-than-black beam of light coming from the cursed pit.
A blacker-than-black beam of...
Yeah, we literally had the same thought then.
It would be a blacker-than-black beam of black, surely, not light.
So it would just be a giant shadow?
Yeah, you'd have thought so.
Because, now, correct me if I'm wrong, Pirate, I might have learnt this from you, but surely you can't have, like, black light in a way.
Well, black light, what we consider black light is just ultraviolet light, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you don't actually see it through your eyes. We can't see. Well, some very, very special people claim that they can see the ultraviolet end of the spectrum, but we as humans can't. But when you get a black light, it's very much ultraviolet end of the spectrum. It just makes your teeth shine really white and stuff like that, and white things stand out whiter, don't they?
Yeah. But
that is the only kind of black light that I know of. You can't have a blacker than black beam of blackness and call it light, can you?
Yeah, there's no way.
Because light is light.
Apparently that was coming from the cursed pit. So,
right.
The
neighbour claimed.
Yes, yeah.
From 5 miles away.
I mean, from the coordinates and the map that we saw, there was no neighbours around.
There wasn't even a house at Mel's Hole when we looked at it on Google Maps earlier.
He explained, as the light of the flashlight, that he threw out a beam of solid black instead of standard white hue. Black is easily one of the most ominous colours that could come from a mysterious pit, as it often associated with evil, death and emptiness.
Yeah, hang on, what? Did you say his torch, his flashlight, produced a beam of black?
Yeah,
as
so
well?
He explained it as the light of the flashlight that threw out a beam of solid black instead of white. So he's basically describing the hole, saying that
that
hole
was
shot up
a beam of light,
like his flashlight, but it was black instead of white.
Okay.
But I don't associate black with evil, death and emptiness.
I wear black all the time.
Yeah. Like, it goes with everything.
Yeah.
I think black.
We're nice guys. We're not evil.
No. No. And I think goths deep down are nice. And they wear black all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a fun fact for you. I've never met a horrible goth. They've always actually been really pleasant.
Yeah, they're usually quite placid people, to be fair.
They don't like people.
No.
So leave me alone.
Yeah.
The talk of Mel's Hole eventually got big enough that the federal government caught wind of it.
Here we go. I did hear about this, yeah.
Here we go. As Waters recounted in a later call, he was heading towards the hole one day when a man in a suit approached him and said that the area had been closed off due to a plane crash. The man told Waters he was no longer allowed near the pit. Waters described seeing men in biohazard suits standing behind him. Soon after, the government leased the land and gave him a generous amount of money to vacate the property. Waters accepted the money and moved to Australia. The addition of a government conspiracy significantly increased interest in the urban legend.
Now, hold on. This is running parallel now to what you told me earlier about, because you said you looked into the sales of the property.
Mm. Yeah, and Mel's name isn't even on...
It's not on the property.
No.
There's no mention of a government payout. It just mentions that after 1997, the plot of land increased in value.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right? It went from like 35,000 or something like that to 120.
Just before 1997, someone sold the property. I think it was a female. She was actually registered to the property.
Yeah.
She sold it just before Mel's Hole, like in 1997, for 135,000, I think it was. And then after the Mel's Hole incident, so still in 1997 afterwards...
Got bought anonymously or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was then given back to the original owner for $0. So it wasn't even a purchase. And then
it was sold for like a lower amount again.
Then it was sold again for $35,000. But yeah. Mel's name is not even
Mel Waters never came up on any of the land registry. Yeah.
And I'll do you one better. In the research, Mel Waters, it doesn't even exist in that area. So unless he's living off grid and he is a proper like nomad in the middle of nowhere that doesn't want to be known, there's no records, doctor's records, like a social security number, nothing for a guy called Mel Waters.
I'm trying to think what Mel Waters could be a reference to if this was like a Joseph Matheny type thing. Because like John Tito was John Connor from Terminator, or so he claimed.
Mm-hmm.
So what would Mel Waters be? I don't know. Well, that's the thing. I don't know enough American folklore either to take a guess at that. See what it would be referencing.
It's tough because America doesn't have that much folklore, does it? Because it's got
no history. It's only like 300 years of history, isn't it?
So. Yeah. I mean, America's history is pretty much war. I don't really, don't really know what else. And I'm not, that's the thing, I'm not even making a joke. Like, I'm genuinely trying to think of American history
that isn't war based, yeah,
and everything comes back to war, whether it's civil wars, and, the War of Independence, like just everything comes back to war. The Declaration of Independence, bearing arms, like all of that. I mean, bald eagles, but
they're found in the country,
like, that's not really history either, no. To be honest. That's yeah, so I mean, there's not much history there with America, but. I'm with you on that. I'm now starting to think, like, is this just a prank? Is this
I think it Joseph Matheny? Is. I don't know if it's Joseph Matheny, but I'd say it's somebody doing that kind of alternate reality game.
Do you think Joseph Matheny has started a wave of people, like, with really good sense of humour and pranks like him? Like, very like-minded.
Well, like he said, back in the 90s, you know, before the days of the internet really taken off... These kind of alternate reality games were a big thing, you know. People would do this kind of thing, you know, make up these like alternate reality stories just for entertainment purposes. And then people took it far too seriously.
Yeah.
Which might have been exactly what's happened here.
Well, I've got a couple more bits for you. So, in one of his final calls, Waters claimed he had come back to Washington 2 years after moving to Australia. Despite a warning from the government not to return, he said...
Why?
I don't know.
You can't come back to the country that you were born in. You're not American anymore.
Yeah, I mean, Australia's the furthest point... Well,
not from America, no.
So, why Australia? There's not enough here, is there, really? Like, it's given us more questions.
More mysteries.
Yeah, we don't have any answers. We just have more questions.
More and riddles.
More confusion. He said police officers removed him from a bus and left him on the streets of San Francisco 2 weeks later. He had IV marks on his arm, several missing teeth, and no memory of what transpired. Waters managed to continue to his hometown but felt that menacing strangers were stalking him. He was told his land had been taken over by the government and found the region had been erased on an early mapping system called Terra Server. Okay.
Okay.
So that's what he claimed happened when he came back to visit after 2 years of being in Australia.
Fair enough.
Don't know about that. But that was not the end of Walter's story. He said that he found a nearly identical hole in the Badlands of Nevada. This one had a metal ring that extended down into the ground instead of a brick lining, but his experiments at the site produced similar results.
Oh, really? This one guy out of 300 million people happened to find not one bottomless hole, but two bottomless holes.
Yeah, yeah.
In completely different areas of the country.
Yeah, and the hole in Nevada, no one has ever found that apart from Mel's claims.
Right.
So, well, at least the other one had neighbours and sheep that have seen it. This one.
And a mysterious seal.
Yeah. But that's the thing, though. I've got one more page of research and then we'll debunk it. There's no lying about this one. This is debunked already. Talk about Mel's bottomless holes has remained surprisingly steady since his calls to the radio show all those years ago. The urban legend has been the subject of many chat groups. like above Top Secret in 2005. In 2007, more people got talking about the legend in the Sheffield Forum. In 2008, a tribal medicine man known as Gerald R. Osborne, or Red Elk, that was the guy I was talking about. Oh, I said his name was Red.
Red Elk.
That's a hippie name, isn't it? They call me, actually, is it hippie or is it Native American?
Oh, I don't know. Well, from that description there, I would assume Native American.
I don't know many Native Americans called Gerald. They're normally like Talking Wind or something, aren't they?
Well, yeah.
I could be wrong. But either way, he was Red Elk. So he kept the legend alive when he claimed to see UFOs flying over the pit and even suggested it was an underground UFO base and found the hole himself.
Definitely been on the peyote.
Yeah. So a poll asked people whether they believed Mel's hole was real or not in 2012. Some people from Reddit, Facebook, everyone shared coordinates of possible locations and tried to get a group together to find it in 2018. As recently as 2022. So that was the last time they tried to find this hole. So we're literally talking a handful of years away or ago. It was featured on a few podcasts, and it has been the center of attention for urban legend, myths, and stories. But they have never actually found the hole themselves. Everyone that does this research group that meet up every few years, they've never found that hole.
And we couldn't either. We put into Google Maps Mel's hole. It did take us to a pinpoint on the map. Resolution was absolutely terrible.
Mm.
All you could see was a few little black spots, and you couldn't really... Well, it just looked like bushes to me.
Like a suspicious bush to me.
A suspicious bush.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what that bush is doing, but it looks a little funny.
Maybe Mel's hole is covered by a suspicious bush.
A suspicious bush, yeah.
Maybe that's what Elvis was singing about. It wasn't suspicious minds, it was suspicious bushes.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm just talking nonsense here.
Yeah. But either way, yeah, we couldn't find any evidence of a hole.
Yeah.
Or not nothing. Like I say, the resolution wasn't fine enough to actually make out any details at where the pinpoint was.
Yeah.
But it was at that, what was it called? Makashi Ridge or something like that?
Maritash. So bad because we literally just read it like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Maritash, do you want to have a quick look?
That ridge was running just to the north of it, according to Google Maps.
Manastash Ridge.
So it was there.
Mm.
And the pin marker was just to the south of Manat.
Yeah.
Whatever you just said.
Manastash.
Just literally just said it 10 seconds ago and I've already gone.
It's all right. It's one of them days, man. It's all good.
We could not find any evidence of an actual structure with a wall around it that looked like a hole. It looked like a bottomless hole with an evil seal.
Yeah. Now, I remember a few months back when we were talking about it at work and I stumbled across a couple of YouTube videos. You'd seen a couple. And there was a little bit of, we thought, credence to it, where we thought, oh, this is quite interesting, actually. Like, I could see this being a thing. It sounds believable, X, Y, Z.
Except for 80,000 feet deep, like three times deeper than the deepest part of the ocean. Yeah.
So then, as I was doing the research, I was thinking, okay, yeah, nothing's too far-fetched here. Until it got to the ice cubes and the sheep.
And curing cancer.
And the dog. To be honest, the whole thing was a load of poggle-tosh. I mean, there's nothing there, is there?
Not really.
To me, it just sounds like we've debunked it from the first 5 minutes of the pod.
Yeah.
And we've been entertaining it. It is good entertainment.
It is good entertainment value. I guess, well, it kept people hooked for weeks on Coast to Coast, didn't it? On a radio show. And like you say, he did ring in like four or five times, didn't he, with a bit more of the story each time. Mm. But me, I...
Why have the neighbours never come forward?
Well, I couldn't see any bloody neighbours on the Google Maps.
Yeah, but
I zoomed out miles and, you know, it was barren wasteland. The nearest thing was, what, an Afghan village in Art Bell's summer house or something, was it called?
Yeah.
That was the nearest house.
But you would think if a guy called Red Elk is coming out and saying, no, I've seen it, I found the hole, and I believe in it, you would think at some point since 1997, like one of the neighbors or a stranger or someone would have said,
stumbled across it.
Yeah, I found it. Yeah. Like anything. But yeah, it's very bizarre. I think it's my hot take on it. I think it is just a story that it's almost like Joseph Matheny. I think it's just a prank. It's just something along those lines.
But then also, if no one has found it, how come when we put into Google Maps Mel's Hole, it gave us a pinpoint, but it also gave us a bunch of pictures of holes in the ground?
Yeah.
But so if no one's found it, who took the pictures?
But that didn't match up with the map, did it?
Not necessarily, no.
I don't know. I think someone's just having a laugh.
I think a lot of people are probably having a laugh of it.
Yeah, I think it's just a prank.
I think it's just got out of control now.
How does something like that carry on for over 25 years?
I don't know. But
it's nuts.
That would be the only reason why I'm giving it as high as 3.3.
That's generous.
Because it's lasted 20 odd years, you know, 27 years at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's still a mystery.
I mean, the story would have been so much better if you didn't add the weird creature that cured cancer and then hopped back into the hole. The black light. Everything was just off a little bit.
Yeah.
If the story or whoever created it dumbed it down a little bit, you know, like, oh, we lowered the ice down and it melted. Like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
science.
Would do. Yeah.
Yeah, that works. Yeah. We lowered the sheep down and we brought it up. And
it was cooked.
It was cooked.
Kind of makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
You go that deep, pressure, heat. Yeah, yeah. Probably would cook it alive.
Adds up with the melting of the ice. Makes sense.
But a sheep being pregnant with a fetal seal that cures cancer and jumps back in a hole and then comes back to round up sheep.
You lost me.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
I'm out. I am well and truly out at that point. I don't think there's a single person that heard that bit and went, go on, tell me more.
I need to know more about this. Where can I find one of these seals myself?
Yeah.
I need to cure my sister.
Yeah, it's the start of like a villain arc story, isn't it? Maybe that's the villain, Fatal Seal.
Yeah, maybe. Didn't actually cure cancer. Maybe it gave him cancer. That would be more believable, to be honest.
That would, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All in all, I agree with you. I'm going to give it a 2.8.
2.8?
Yeah. Yeah.
What did I give it? 3.3. 3.1. That is still quite generous, but, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It was an entertaining story, I'll give it that.
Very entertaining.
Very entertaining.
We've had a laugh over it.
Yeah.
You know what? I actually don't mind stories and stuff like this because it just shows that not everything is so serious all the time because we have so many heavy, dark, like conspiracy theories where a lot of it is, you know, 9/11 and the government and... It's very heavy.
Quite depressing as well, isn't it?
And after a while, like, we've noticed with some of the subjects that we've covered, like Kurt Cobain and things, like,
yeah,
it changed the atmosphere for us, didn't it?
Yeah, and editing that video, that whole episode was quite draining for me, particularly Kurt Cobain, particularly being a fan of him at the time and remembering his death and everything. And yeah, it does. And having something like this, a little bit more lighthearted,
quite silly...
Yeah. Although people still believe it.
You know what? And credit to those people because they're keeping it alive. And
they are.
If it wasn't for people like that, I mean.
We wouldn't have stories to report.
Yeah. 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 So, all in all, I think fun little story.
Speaking of stories to report, we're still waiting on your Bigfoot episode, man. When is that coming?
Yeah, we are. We are.
I mean, we got T-shirts with Bigfoot on it for sale now. Check that out, by the way. Paranormalityuk.mymercher.com.
My Mercher.
Yeah, go there. There are new merchandise T-shirts available with some brilliant prints. Polar Bear's been hard at work.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's created some really good designs, so... Do go and check those out. Buy the Bigfoot one. That hopefully will encourage Josh to actually get on and do it.
Right. I didn't want to disclose this information because I was kind of waiting for the right opportunity. So.
Well, we're not doing it for the 100th episode next week.
No, we're not. No. Now, I started doing Bigfoot research.
Oh.
And I'm just gonna call it out. I'm just gonna be as honest and open about it. Most of the good information on Bigfoot are behind paywalls.
Oh,
I'm talking. There'll be a certain documentary on a certain Prime channel. There'll be certain.
I have access to certain Prime channels.
Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So to give it my all. To give it the full research that Bigfoot, because Bigfoot...
You want my login information.
I could do. I'm just making a point that Bigfoot is a hero. He's a legend. Yeah. He is one of the top conspiracy theories. And I want to give it the best attention and the best research I can. So I feel like I need either your login or I need to stop being such a cheapskate and actually buy some things so I can actually have some proper research.
So what you're saying is you need people to buy merch so that you can afford your own login information.
Yeah, yeah, right, basically, okay. Yeah, yeah. Because I don't want to half-ass it. I don't want to just watch a couple of YouTube videos and read Wikipedia and be like, yeah, this is what I found, and it's like half hour long, like, Bigfoot is the man, the myth, the legend. And I love it so much that I want to give it a proper deep dive, just like I did with 9/11. It really interests me. So with the greatest respect, it is coming. I haven't got a time frame, but I want to do it justice. So to the point that when people hear it, they go, you know what? That was worth a bloody wait, Josh. Good job on that, mate. Right. That's one of the best podcasts on Bigfoot I've ever heard of. Okay. Well done.
Well, let's hope that it all goes like that then.
Yeah, that's the plan anyway.
Okay. Well, it's not going to be next week then.
No.
Next week is actually our long-awaited 100th episode. Mm. We were going to live stream, but we're not now because obviously life gets in the way and stuff. I already explained that, you know, it's just a bad time of year for us. But we are pre-recording it. It is going to be a good one, and it might even kill us.
Yeah, and that's not even a joke.
No, it's not.
It's actually not even a joke.
No, so tune in next week if you want to find out why.
It's going to be shocking as well.
It is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And until then, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta. Down in the hole.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
This is a mini meditation guided by Bombas. Repeat after me. I'm comfy.
Comfy.
I'm cozy.
Cozy.
I have zero blisters on my toes.
Blisters.
And that's because I wear Bombas, the softest socks, underwear, and T-shirts that give back. One purchased equals one donated. Now go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST at checkout.
Save big this holiday season,
All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.